Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hale. Feels good to be back. These shows came like back to back. It was a real quick turnaround between shows. Yeah. So that's dope. It feels like we're living in the Blue Wire Studios here at the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas. Great to be back here. Shout out to everyone in production in the booth making this happen. It's a good show today because we're talking MMA, not just UFC, but we have Bellator to touch on real quick. A legend might have gone out on top. We'll see. Or maybe this is a fifth run for Fedor over in Bellator. Then we have PFL to touch on. Clarissa Shields, Kayla Harrison, their futures in the sport, where they go from here. Then UFC, recapping last weekend, Paulo Costa and that whole saga and where he goes from here. And also we'll preview UFC 267, which is just on ESPN Plus. It's not a pay-per-view. So if people have the Plus, go ahead, you can watch it for free. But yes, it's still numbered two title fights there. So we will break all of that down later on in the show. To start off, though, we've been holding off on this for a second. But I feel like today's the day. I get to come in here and we get to nerd out to open up the corner. It's been a while since we've talked our nerd stuff. So bear with us. It's about to get fun. Because last week, DC dropped their whole slate of trailers on us. Like, boom, I gift you the DC, what is DCU? DC Universe? I don't even know what the hell they call it. DCEU, something stupid. So they dropped the trailers for The Batman, for Flash, and Black Adam. I have it in a different order on my rundown. I want to start with Black Adam, because The Rock.
Yeah.
I am excited, but I'm cautiously excited because this could be real cheesy. It could be real Shaq, Shazam type cheesy.
I don't think so. Come on.
Listen, I wasn't the biggest fan, one of the character. So DC is like my WCW. I like it. I like Batman. But, you know, like, I hate Superman. I was never a Superman guy. Superman's like the worst comic book hero.
That's fair.
And then The Flash is like, all right, like, you run fast. Aquaman serves no purpose.
Talks to fish.
Yeah, like.
If it wasn't Jason Momoa, I don't know why anybody would watch the movies.
Yeah, and I don't even watch it because he's in it. But I'm sure, we talked about this on the last show, women love that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Michael B. Jordan, Jason Momoa. Yeah. Those are the two, like, hall pass guys at this moment. So, yeah, I'm sure ladies love Aquaman. He does nothing. And who? Wonder Woman had one good movie.
Yeah, that 1984 was trash.
Yeah, just took away all the good faith.
This is a DC problem. I don't think this is even a Dwayne Johnson problem for Black Adam.
No, but like, he can be cheesy.
When has he been cheesy?
When hasn't he been cheesy? And I like the
Don't answer a question with a question. What movie has he been cheesy in?
Every one with Kevin Hart. Every single one. They got like four or five. Pick one.
I mean, they're comedies. He's not necessarily cheesy. Like,
cool.
This is.
So, you like the one where it's him and Roman Reigns, not heel Roman, but previous Roman Reigns beating people up in like a Fast and a Furious spinoff?
Yes. I enjoy The Rock's acting. I do. In Ballers, I enjoy him in Ballers.
On this show, you have openly crushed Will Smith's acting.
Yes, I have, because I think he's overrated.
And then now, on the same show,
yes,
you enjoy The Rock's acting.
Because Will Smith is playing these super dramatic roles. The Rock is not doing that. The Rock is in, like, The Fast and Furious? Come on, man.
No, hey, I mean,
ain't nobody showing
true,
up to act in The
corny.
Fast and Furious.
They're all corny. That doesn't help.
They're going to space. The cars are flying through the air. I don't expect anything serious out of that. But when Will Smith is doing, like, Concussion, where he's donning a terrible accent, he was great in Pursuit of Happiness. When he's Will Smith, when he's just, like, acting
you hated
like
Ali.
I hate Will Smith and Ali. I hate because it felt like I was watching him put on a costume for Halloween and be like, I'm Muhammad Ali. I didn't enjoy that. But The Rock is never necessarily in a role where I expect him to be an Oscar-nominated performance. Will is always in performances where people are like, he should be Oscar-nominated. So there's two completely different paths with these two.
I'll tell you this. John Cena's a better actor than Will Smith.
Than Will Smith?
Or excuse me, not Will Smith.
Than The Rock?
Than The Rock.
No.
Yeah, John Cena's a better actor
you
than The Rock.
You gotta stop. What is wrong with you,
already,
man?
John Cena's a you better actor bugging. Than The Rock. Comedy, way funnier.
You're sick. You're so
He's wrong. Better than The Rock. And in Suicide Squad, he crushed that role.
He was great in Suicide Squad. As
amazing.
Peacemaker. That's one movie.
And all his comedies are hilarious. All of them.
The Rock is he's really good in everything that he does.
Yeah. Go watch Scorpion King after this.
Dude, Scorpion King was like his first movie. That's not fair. That's not fair. The Rock,
it's on the resume.
Even in The Other Guys, with him and Samuel Jackson took an L in the beginning of
that
the movie.
That was funny. He was on there for 2 minutes.
Yes, but he was still funny.
It was hilarious for 2 minutes.
The Rock, dude. I have no problem with The Rock in an action movie. I enjoyed him in Fast and the Furious, even though Fast and Furious movies are stupid.
Did you watch Rampage?
Who watches it? Nobody.
It's exactly.
Like, but The Rock.
Exactly.
No,
I can go on all
thing.
Day.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The Rock and a giant monkey.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was in a ton of movies. A ton. And they didn't all hit.
No.
But Commando was a slapper.
Okay. I was also, and this is horrible. It's not helping my take right now. I was a big fan of Eraser. Is that like Vanessa Williams
production?
In that too?
Cut his mic. Cut his mic now. Cut it.
Yo, with the crazy Eraser? Guns that could shoot through the walls? I don't know. But I was younger. I saw it when I was like 7. I used
Look,
to love
man,
Eraser.
But I'm saying like The Rock is a better, he's more fun to watch than most in his role. Like, did you watch Ballers on HBO?
No, I did not watch it.
He's great
Ballers.
In Ballers.
Okay.
He's great. You're over here just shitting on The Rock. I don't even understand this. Like, why are you doing this right now?
I'm just saying he can be real corny.
What movie was he corny in?
I just listened. You didn't watch Rampage.
Did you?
There was another one. I did. And there was another one where he's like a firefighter in a helicopter.
These are action movies, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
action movies are typically, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme was corny, right?
Bloodsport aside.
Bloodsport is like one of the greatest movies.
Yeah.
There'll be no Bloodsport slander ever in the history of anything.
I will agree, yeah. But
the Kumite is like the greatest thing. It's one of the things that was my pathway into combat sports. Watching Jean-Claude Van Damme. But even though the real truth about Bloodsport, as much as I like Jean-Claude Van Damme, it was really about Bolo Young.
Oh, Bolo was incredible. Like, I still don't know how that guy was so buff. Like, his chest is just, it's Big E chest. Big E went and said, yo, give me the Bolo.
Yo, I was, as a kid, right? I didn't know any better. I saw Asian people, and I was like, Bruce Lee doesn't look like this. I was like, there's no person that looks like this. And I used to go around. I was like, does your dad look like Bolo Young? I had, like, an Asian friend. I was like, he's like, no, that's, like, the biggest man I've ever seen. Because, like, there's a scene where they're chanting Chong Li, and he's doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, this guy's like the Hulk. Like, he's the big. And then when Jean-Claude beats him, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Bullet, I'm sorry. There's no spoiler alert.
Like
Jean-Claude Van Damme wins it
every 4 decades later.
I don't care. But when he's fighting him, and I'm like, there's no way Van Damme could beat up Bolo Young. In my mind, I was like, he'd break him in half. Because he broke his friend in half.
Yeah. I love that, like, even when you were a 5-6-year-old, the booking had to make sense.
It did. And to me, the booking had to make sense in Bloodsport. Because to me, again, as a kid, I watched Revenge of the Nerds, and I was like, why is the guy from Revenge of the Nerds fighting in Bloodsport? Really confusing to me, right? And then he got beat up and got his, you know, he got stomped out by Bolo Young. And I looked, just like when Dolph Lundgren beat up Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
I'm like, Ivan Drago kills Apollo Creed. And I was like, you're going to tell me Sylvester Stallone's going to beat this guy? Get out of here. So when that happened, and I looked at Bolo and Chung Lee, and I was like, there's no way Van Damme could beat him. And as a kid, you like, you want a happy ending, but I didn't. I liked sad endings. I wanted Jean-Claude Van Damme to die in Bloodsport.
You were a twisted, weird little kid.
At any rate, we've gone off the beaten path here. I don't have a problem with The Rock as Black Adam. I enjoy Shazam. Obviously, this won't be like Shazam. It'll be a darker movie. Clearly.
Yeah, Shazam surprised me because I didn't expect to like it.
Well, I don't think anybody expected to like it.
It's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I showed up and I was like, oh, wait, this is really dope.
Guardians of the Galaxy is incredible, by the way.
Is it? Like, the game?
No, I haven't played it.
Oh, okay.
I just got the game. Yes.
Okay,
I'm talking about
yeah.
the movies.
No, the movies are incredible.
Like, the movies are incredible. But, so, I'm looking forward to seeing Black Adam. It looks a little darker. But my bigger issue is not The Rock. It's DC movies. DC movies don't typically pan out.
Yeah, they get me hype every time. Like, Affleck is Batman. Every time someone says Affleck was a good Batman.
You say Affleck and I think of the duck.
No. Like Ben Affleck.
I know.
Yes.
I still think of the duck. I can't help
myself. But like every time someone's like, he's the best Batman. I feel like just being like Bernie Mac and head of state and just walking through and just slapping people when he comes to the train station. Like, no, he was not. He wasn't a great Batman.
Who's the best Batman?
Christian Bale's the best Batman ever.
And then Michael Keaton.
Yeah. I'll take this back. Michael Keaton's the best Batman ever. Because I think he played both Batman and Bruce Wayne phenomenally. I thought Christian Bale played a great Batman.
He didn't play a great Bruce Wayne.
His Bruce Wayne was a little off. And so I'll put him second. But I like those Batman movies more, obviously. I think those are the best movies. But because they had the best villains.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight Rises was probably the best Bale was.
Yeah.
In the trilogy. Because he got out-acted by a lot of people previous to then.
Of course.
And even then... Just watching Bane, I mean, Bane was incredible too, but I thought like Bale actually did his thing in that final movie. It was like, oh, okay, and then it was over. And then he was like, okay, I'm out. Yeah. So I was like, oh man, I wanted to see him go. Like, I wanted to see it become like Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man. Because if it stopped at Iron Man 3, Robert Downey Jr. would have been a little funny in the light.
What?
But going into Avengers and Civil War, then we're like, yo, he is Iron Man.
Nah, but see, Iron Man 3 sucked.
No,
because
it
the story sucked. Not because of Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. is incredible.
Yes, but if you would have stopped at 3, we would have been looking at him like.
I would have been looking at him. I would have been looking at who wrote this damn movie. Because Iron Man 3, the Mandarin, it was like,
Yeah, they flopped on that
one. Yeah, they blew it.
I haven't seen Shang-Chi yet.
I haven't either.
Yeah, I heard it's great.
I just watched Black Widow.
Okay. Finally. Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, I'm not going to the movie theater.
No.
And I was like, I'm going to sit here and watch it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, shout out to Disney Plus. Shameless plug.
Yeah, Disney Plus. But back to like DC movies, like Ben Affleck is Batman. I'm like, all right.
Snyder Cut for all the hype.
Come on,
I think
man.
We talked about.
We're not going to talk about this. The Snyder Cut is a very long, like, it's an improvement on the first one because it gives you like context. It was like, oh, that's why that scene happened 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, but it still wasn't good. It made an F movie into a C.
Yeah, it was.
And people lost their mind.
I mean, same thing with like Batman and Superman. Batman and Superman was like, bad.
Horrible.
I was watching people.
That's why,
like,
Ben Affleck's not a good Batman. Like, you can't be a good Batman when the movie just stinks.
Well, the movie stinks. So he has his chance. He's got an opportunity here.
No, like, so we have, again, and they're just doing resets. So it's kind of like the Joker.
They kind of have to.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But in The Flash, they played the whole trailer. Now we get, like, their version of the multiverse. Multiverse, and Flash does the little run backwards around the earth, messes everything up. And they're bringing back Keaton, bringing back Affleck. Cool. They'll make it work inside that story. I'm not a Flash guy.
Me either.
Like, he doesn't do anything.
Even though I haven't watched the series, and I heard the series is really good, I just haven't had the time to watch it.
Yeah, and it doesn't even catch my eye. I watched Gotham. That's, like, the only one of those series I watched.
Okay.
And then I got, like, 3 seasons deep, and I had to stop. But... like, the Flash movie, all right, doesn't do anything for me. The Batman, the trailer, with Patterson.
Yeah, Patterson.
Yeah, yeah, cool. I think it looks good.
Of course it does.
I feel like I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to be like, they got me again.
It's DC's problem. Like, the Joker was good, right?
Joker was good.
But Wonder Woman, the first Wonder Woman, surprisingly good. When you come in with, like, low expectations, DC kind of surprises you.
Yeah.
But when you come in like 84 with Wonder Woman, you're like, oh, this should be really good because the first one's good. And then you watch it and you're like, it's really bad. It's really unfortunate.
The Joker wasn't even like wasn't a comic book movie.
No, it wasn't at all. But that's when
So how do you even blend that into a universe?
But that's like when DC's at its best. D- DC is only at its best when it add, like when they try to do like fantasy stuff, it's like it's bad. It
gets weird.
But like with The Dark Knight Rises, there was an element of darkness in it that made it really good. If you take that element of darkness away like they did the first time they tried Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And then they went all in on the goofy in the second one, which was like perfect.
Yep.
Right? But when they try to like do what Marvel does, it doesn't work.
That's true. But there was no like action in the Joker at all.
Like, no, it was like an origin story.
Yeah. But it was like.
And it was amazing.
It was cool. Like I think I got more out of the Joker in The Dark Knight than I did the entire Joker movie.
I don't know about that.
I mean, I think I enjoyed that portrayal and wasn't even like a movie focused on him more than the entire
Joker
movie.
Heath Ledger was incredible.
Yeah. I haven't gone back and watched the new Joker movie at all. I watched the first time. I thought it was really good. I never went back and watched it.
Yeah, there's certain movies that you'll watch. That was amazing. I'll never watch it again.
Dark Knight I watch every time. Like, you come on TV wherever. I'm just like, oh, well, I'm here for the next 2.5 hours. So I'm cautiously optimistic.
I'm just cautious. Forward. I'm not even optimistic. I'm just like, I'm cautious with my money. Like, I'm be handing the money over, like, and I'm gonna be like, I'll be back if this ain't good. You're gonna give me money back.
You go pay what you owe.
Yeah.
And then Marvel, Eternals, I don't know what to expect from Eternals. Whatever.
It looks great. I don't know if the story is gonna be great, but it looks.
It's like all the people online now that's like, oh, you have to watch Dune. Like, oh, is it a great story? Oh, it looks amazing.
Well, see, you got.
Like,
I've seen the original Dune. That's why I'm gonna watch Dune because I saw the original. People haven't watched the original. It's like you should watch. I don't watch movies because of special effects.
I heard it was a great book.
I never read the
book. Oh, I gotta get the book.
But I don't watch movies because of special effects. I watch movies because of story, and if the special effects are great, good. The reason why I like Infinity War and the reason why I like Endgame is not because of special effects.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I was an edge the entire movie. I was like, who's gonna bite it? Like, everybody's gonna bite it. How are you gonna beat Thanos? This is incredible. But Marvel, like DC, doesn't do that, right?
No.
So it's like with the Eternals, I'm like, I have no idea what I'm expecting here.
But somehow it's going to tie in and make sense. That's what
Perhaps.
I'm expecting. Like, so I'll watch it, but it's really all about Spider-Man for me.
Of course it is.
Like, I am all in on Spider-Man, and then getting the multiverse explained, all the different Spider-Mans it looks like we'll have there, the Sinister Six. In which you don't rebook the Sinister Six,
no.
But you have them show up in a way that completely makes sense and be from different universes. I love it. I love that tie-in. So I think out of all, I'd probably say since Endgame, I expect Spider-Man to be the best movie.
Yeah. I mean.
And we've had some good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the shows. Like, WandaVision was dope.
I still haven't finished Loki yet, and I know people are going to crucify me for
what?
This. I just haven't had time. Like, it's one of those shows that I'm watching, and then it's like, oh, I need to do some work. And I was like, I can't, like, work and watch Loki because I'll look up and I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah, you missed stuff. Yeah,
so I'm gonna finish Loki, like, in the next week. But, yeah, WandaVision was great. All the shows, like, Captain America and the Winter Soldier. I mean,
that was
Falcon and the Winter Soldier was pretty good.
Yeah.
Kicked
up at the end.
Yeah.
And crushed it.
It was good at the end. But it's like, it's Spider-Man. It's like, it's Spider-Man. Like,
I would say you can't mess up Spider-Man, but in the past.
I mean, they messed up Spider-Man. Spider-Man doing the jig down the block.
Exactly. Which is one of the best gifts. Just dancing.
But
like,
watching it, and like actively watching it, I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah. Skinny Venom was also very odd.
Yeah. It's
that
just
movie.
Not the same.
I haven't watched the new Venom.
I haven't watched the new Venom yet either because I just refuse to go to the movie theater.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I could just watch it at home, though. It has to be available somewhere.
Not yet. Well, yeah.
So, like, I mean, I got to check that out. That brings us to this favorite part of the opening segment. What's your Mount Rushmore of comic book movies?
Now, got to preface it with this.
Yes. And, oh, and Cole, in the booth, I need your 4 as well. So I need you to start thinking. I need you to chime in. Your Mount Rushmore of comic book movies.
I need a qualifier because is it all comic books or is it only Marvel and DC? Because you can't do this because then there's
we're doing
Scott Pilgrim versus
we're
the World is a comic book.
Yes, it is. And I love Scott Pilgrim. We're doing all comic book movies, graphic novels included.
Oh, this isn't fair. I'll be here all week trying to figure this out. Scott Pilgrim versus the World is already on the list. Doesn't matter.
That's your number.
It's already on the list. I don't know where it's on the list. It's on the list. I love that movie. I'll watch that movie 1,000 times.
I love it. Yeah, there's.
But then, like, there's graphic novels that turn into anime movies. Do those count?
No, now we're getting, like, real comic.
That's what I'm saying, because it's like.
All right, Marvel and DC.
Okay.
Sorry, Scott Pilgrim, which you have my heart.
Yeah, like, yeah. Scott Pilgrim versus the World is incredible.
Marvel and DC.
You go first, because that you've already thought about this, which isn't fair.
Actually, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to write it down but on my rundown. But yeah, I thought about it, but I'm going still off of the top of the head. So Dark Knight is on there. One that teeters on and off the list that has to stay on there now is Blade. So the first Blade.
It's been a while.
Oh, it's just next level good. So Dark Knight, Blade, then I will go Endgame is 3, which is tough. But I really like Endgame. And then
this is impossible.
Captain America, Winter Soldier.
This is impossible.
Which I think is the best. Like, if you take all the action sequences and stuff, I think Winter Soldier is, like, probably the best Marvel movie.
It's a fantastic story.
The storyline of it is just, like, next level. And it ties in perfectly. But it's hard to leave out Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Yeah.
Thor Ragnarok was crushing. Like, I could watch that movie. It's just so fun. But, I got to go Endgame. And that comes down to, like, is Endgame even the best out of the final two? Like, out of the Avenger movies?
They're both incredible. I mean, they're like one movie, right? It's like watching Kill Bill 1 and 2. Like one movie.
So it's tough to, like, even separate that. The original Avengers was great.
It does
with Loki as the villain. But those are my four. Dark Knight, Blade, Endgame, Winter Soldier.
This is impossible.
And I'm including no Spider-Mans because my fifth is usually Spider-Man 2, the Tobey Maguire one, where it's him and Doc Ock. I love that movie. But, that's fifth and it's off the list.
All right, the one movie that you left off the list is Logan.
Oh, Logan was really dope.
Logan's on this list. Logan's incredible.
Damn, then I got to put Deadpool on the list if I put Logan?
I mean, you don't have to. There's no rule here.
Deadpool is almost doper than Logan.
No, it's not. And I love Deadpool.
Yeah.
I love it. But Logan is so good. I'm going to, I don't know.
You're going to put no DC movies on here?
No, I'm not. I don't think I am. I think I might put Dark Knight Rises. Like, it's close. I'm going to put Black Panther on the list because of sentimental value.
Okay.
And because it's incredible.
Yep.
And I've watched it like 1,000 times. I'm going to put Thor Ragnarok on this list because I hated all the Thor movies.
And
I hated the first one. I hated Dark World. I had low expectations coming into Ragnarok. And it was incredible.
Yeah. That's expectation-wise. But yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I've watched it so many times, and then I watched it again with my wife, because I made my wife watch every Marvel movie before we watched Endgame.
Oh.
I made her watch them all. Like, she had to sit through all of them. And then she was like, she watched Ragnarok. She was like, this is incredible. What did I have? Logan, Black Panther.
Ragnarok.
Ooh, this is impossible.
Endgame has to be it, then.
Yes, it's Endgame. But it's like, how am I leaving?
Endgame is probably the greatest comic book movie ever.
There are some people that will argue against this, which is crazy to me.
Because like, to fit all of that, all of those characters into a seamless story,
I know.
Almost impossible.
But Captain America and Winter Soldier is so good.
Oh, that's so good. I mean, that's all my fault. Just because the script, the storytelling, just him, Bucky, it's incredible.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm not going to overthink this.
So, that is your four. Cole in the booth. I need to know your four, man. We talk to Cole all the time outside of here. We got to talk to Cole on the show as well.
Put on the spot, huh?
On the spot.
You are.
Four comic book movies.
Four comic book movies.
DC Marvel, because he...
Yeah.
Otherwise, Scott Pilgrim and the World is on this list forever.
You're kicking someone
out. Everybody's getting kicked out.
Dark Knight has got to be on there.
Okay.
I'm going to go a little out of the box on the Avengers ones. You guys have been saying Endgame. I like Infinity War a little bit better.
Okay.
Mostly because of the ending.
And it's intense as hell.
Yes.
I'm not mad at that. Yeah. I waver on those two.
Yeah, that ending is just like so chilling.
Oh, yes. But nothing beats the Avengers assemble. Like when you just have just Captain America.
It's splitting hairs, man. It's Kill Bill 1 and 2 for me. I love them both. Anyway.
He has Thor's hammer. Once he gets Thor's hammer, everyone lost their
hammer. Hey, it's Cole's list. Endgame. Cole, finish it.
Cole, keep going.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, Guardians of the Galaxy. Absolutely. That very similar to your experience of like, not sure what to expect here, and then it's like, oh,
yeah,
that was really good. Really. Shoot, fourth one. I can go a few different directions with this.
Fourth is always the hardest.
I would say coming out of the theater, Black Panther. I think that one, like, just coming out and being like, whoa, that was pretty sweet. And then I'd say for the memes, the first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
You got Macho Man Randy Savage in there.
Yes.
You got the Nickelback song. I mean, the memes there are tremendous. Yeah. So.
I forgot he wrestled Macho Man in that.
Yeah. Shout out to the first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. But yeah, the jig in Spider-Man 3 ruined all those.
Yeah. It's all
and also shout out to the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies because those are tremendous. I cannot wait for the next one.
I hope they bring Toby back and somehow we get the jig again in the new Spider-Man.
Tom Holland's like, what are you doing?
Tom Holland's just like, that's the exact moment he comes into the Spider-Man.
They also recognize the memes and they go like, you know, we're just doing it. We're bringing everybody back. We have to do this.
We have to do this.
And then Chad Kroger shows up somewhere and he's going to start singing a song and be like, we're just bringing it back to the early 2000s. I dream of that. Let's
go all the way goofy with it.
Yes, I love it. So, tons of comic book stuff coming up. It's always nice to nerd out here on the show when we can, when we don't have to talk hip-hop or anything else going on in the world. It's so cool. Don't go anywhere, though, because we're going to talk about what we're supposed to talk about, and that is MMA right when we come back from this break. Talking Bellator, talking PFL, Clarissa Shields, Kayla Harrison, all of that up next. Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Hey everyone, it's Lindsay Rhodes, and I've got a new podcast, The NFL Roadshow. Fun and kind of nerdy conversation about the NFL every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I've got some amazing guests that are joining me. I'll be breaking the huddle with the top stories, previewing games. We'll get you set for the weekend fantasy with our Fantasy Friday episodes, and we'll answer some of your questions as well. So subscribe to the NFL Roadshow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. Man, had a good laugh during the break. Shout out to Cole reminding me. Dave Bautista, you know, Bautista does his thing acting as well. I don't know if I'm putting him above The Rock just yet.
No.
But Bautista's funny. So, still, John Cena remains king.
This man has like 3 movies you call him the king. 4.
He got more than 4, but yeah, he's exponentially funnier than The Rock.
You're bugging.
And then, no, I was dead serious. So we're now talking MMA.
Wait, The Rock and Too Cool?
The Rock and Too Cool is great.
Please stop. Like,
okay.
Too Cool. Yeah, thank you. All right.
I'll give you Too Cool.
All right, let's move on.
I'm not saying he's never been funny. I'm just saying he's not funnier than Cena.
I'm just saying Cena hasn't done what The Rock did in Too Cool. Don't look at me like that.
Come on. Cena, the last movie I just saw with him when he was, when all their daughters like went to prom.
That is funny.
Oh, Cock Blockers.
It's not called Cock Blockers, is it?
I think so.
No.
It's no, like it's a rooster not. Block. It's called Blockers, but the rooster is in front of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Blockers.
Thank you.
It's hilarious, and John Cena's incredible.
All right, that's enough.
Nonetheless, let's talk about old man Fedor, who does not act.
No.
But he's still in the octagon whooping ass. Fedor Emelianenko went Bellator. I didn't even know he wasn't headlining.
No, which is crazy.
Just threw him on a card. And I was like, all right, Fedor is fighting. I had no clue. I do this for a job. Had no clue Fedor was fighting. See people saying, okay, Emperor's back. Let's see what he has. First round knockout by old man Fedor. Against an opponent who was like a pretty live opponent.
Tim Johnson.
Tim Johnson. Yeah. Like, I mean, there's worse.
Of course there is.
So I'm like, yo, Fedor's going to get rocked. No, still got hands, still got power. Then you look at that and you go, well, maybe. Then you start playing the dream matchups. A lot of people said that he should walk away.
He should.
Just walk away on top, take the knockout victory. But it wasn't a main event. It flew under the radar. If you want to give him his flowers and have the man retire, give him a main event. Ryan Bader's washed.
He's not washed.
He just got knocked out twice.
It doesn't mean he's washed. Fedor is washed.
Ryan Bader.
Like, maybe. Fedor is doing what Andre Arlovsky is doing in the UFC. And if you put Andre up against the wrong opponent, he's going to die.
Yeah, it's going
to
be ugly.
I like to remember Fedor for knocking out Tim Johnson, who came in looking like Larry Holmes, flabby and sick.
Yeah.
I'll take that. I'll accept it. Thank you, Fedor, in Mother Russia. Go home.
Go. Go.
You fight right. Because he got smoked by Bader.
He did. Oh, no, he hurt Bader.
And then he got smoked.
And then he got smoked.
Yes. So
It was close.
I don't want to see that fight again. I think Fedor should leave before it's too late. That's what fighters
it's
do.
They hang too late.
They hang on too long. So you get a knockout victory and you go, all right, cool. You did it in front of Mother Russia. You wash your hands with this. You go home. You tell Putin, I'm out.
We see Fedor in celebrity boxing?
No.
We see like Tyson Fedor?
No.
Greatest heavyweight versus greatest heavyweight?
No.
Type matchup?
No. These Russians are built differently. They don't do this for celebrity boxing. It's like you're never going to see Khabib do that.
No, Khabib's a different beast, though. You're not going to see Khabib fight until he's 48 years old.
When have you seen Fedor do anything that brought him joy?
That's true. I've never seen the man smile.
Exactly.
So like, what does a joyful Fedor look like?
That's what we just saw.
I think knocking someone out brings him joy.
Yeah, but not celebrity
aspect.
It's
the same face.
He's not doing no celebrity.
No, and I don't think he'd understand, much like Tyson, what an exhibition is.
No, there's no halfway for Fedor. Everybody must die. It's very Ivan Drago-ish.
Fedor, Krokop one more time? You're not watching?
What the hell is Krokop doing?
I don't know.
I don't want to see him fight again. No, I'm done. Fedor needs to quit.
One more time. It's a very Bellator-type main event.
It is, but
Fedor,
I don't want to see
it. Krokop on the way out.
Can Krokop even get his leg high to still kick like that?
You want
to
find out?
No, I don't want to find out. I'm the same.
If someone's like, I don't know if Krokop can kick anymore. Okay, you want to find out? No one wants to step in the cage and find out. And just next thing you know,
Yo, Mirko Krokop used to kick everybody's face off.
They knew it was coming.
We don't need to see Fedor fight again. He's done. You're doing this because you want to torture the man.
I like anarchy.
I know you do.
I
don't need it.
I want to see all the shenanigans. And coming off of a win, then I want more.
Yeah, no.
You go out on your shield.
No, you go
that
out.
That is our
this
sport.
This isn't pro wrestling.
You go out on your shield.
Like, pro wrestling, you lose on your back. In MMA, you got to – in boxing, too, when you win, you leave. Because it just goes bad from there. Because what you do is you end up chasing that win.
Oh,
you become
yeah.
Roy Jones. You're like, damn it, I got knocked out again. It's like seven in a row. What am I going to do? Like, you got to stop. Bernard, he got knocked out the damn ring. Was like, you know what? I've had enough.
Yeah, that was a damn champ.
Yeah, so no.
I run that clip all the time.
Yeah.
Like, right out of the ring.
Just fell right out the ring. It's not a great memory to have.
No. Poor executioner. At that point, it was some type of alien. So, yeah, I mean, two different guys. Yeah. But, yeah, got knocked out of the ring. Sadly, I like to see the old vets. You know what? Get a win, but get a meaningful win to walk out to.
No, you don't need a meaningful win. Meaningful means danger. Stranger danger. Don't get knocked out on your way out. Retire on as the top that you can be on.
As top as it can be.
In the middle of the mountain. You can't be on the top of the mountain.
No.
Retire at the middle of the mountain, and they go, you want to climb all the way? And be like, that's okay.
No.
I made it halfway up. I'm good.
That's spoken like a real old man. Mm-hmm. That is me on every hike my wife takes me on. You want to go to the top of this mountain? No, I got a good view from here.
I've done enough. I've seen enough.
Yep, I can see a strip from right here. You go ahead. I'll be right here waiting for you. Take this selfie real quick. Make it look like I got to the top. Outside of that, we have PFL Finals. $1 million on the line for many people. But the matchup everyone's looking forward to, Clarissa Shields' second MMA fight. For the quotes of boxing, looking to do a quick turnaround and come back in December for boxing as well. Looks like she's setting up a big fight in the boxing realm. How long can she do this and split attention?
For as long as she wants, because she's got boxing on lock.
Yeah, she's not going to forget.
Yeah, it's not like she's going to go to boxing and be like, whoopsie, I forgot what to do. No, she's fine. The problem is how is she going to handle her first loss in MMA? Because it's happening.
Yeah, people just get caught. Like, she'll get taken down, randomly subbed, and
not
be
even,
oh,
like,
damn.
She won't even get taken down and subbed. She'll get taken down and lose.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was close the first
That's
fight.
What I'm saying. It's like she needs to get bailed out with her striking, right? So it's like Clarissa Shields can go back and forth. It's not the boxing that concerns me. It's like, well, when you lose, because it's going to happen, what do you do after you lose? Do you say, all right, boxing, I need you to take a longer break, work on my takedown defense? But she's not going to learn takedown defense in, like, a year.
No.
It takes a long time.
I mean, she's, like, 25 years old.
Yeah.
So she got nothing but time.
She has nothing but time, but it's like, is she going to be okay losing in MMA? Because it's going to happen.
Everyone pretty much takes a loss sooner or later.
Yeah, you take an L. And everybody's like Jon Jones.
Yeah.
Right? And everybody's not Khabib. And Clarissa's definitely neither of them.
No.
Right? So it's like, she's going to lose to somebody.
Like, Amanda's the greatest women's fighter ever and lost several.
Yes, so it's like being undefeated in boxing, being a two-time Olympic gold medalist, having an ego, Like that knockout that she got, I don't know if it's the best or the worst thing that could have got her in the last PFL fight. Because on one hand, you say, damn, I hope she said, I got to learn.
Yeah.
On the other hand, she said, I just need a chance and I'll knock you out. And then she lives on that forever and be like, just give me a chance and I'll knock you out.
I think she's more humble in MMA than she is in boxing.
We'll see what happens if she loses. How
she ain't, yeah.
Where's humility go from there? Because losing sucks.
Losing's not easy anytime.
And you're used to being undefeated at everything. What happens when you take an L? In front of the world, because social media is relentless.
Yeah, this nobody's ain't Savannah Marshall beating you on points.
No, but nobody even wants to hear that. Like, if you lose in MMA, social media is going to explode and call you garbage.
Yeah.
And it may or may not be true.
She responds a lot to social media.
Yeah, and so. It's like, how does that play into your psyche?
Put the phone down. Get back in the gym. Put the phone down.
She can't. Clearly she can't. So I don't know. Like, she may win here, but she's going to lose, and I don't know. You know, it's like, it's going to be tough.
This goes into Kayla Harrison going to win the $1 million, right? So she gets another $1 million, free agency again. I don't think she comes back, which then opens the door for Clarissa Shields to be in the tournament next year, try to get the mill. We'll see how that plays out. No Kayla to block her from winning $1 million anymore.
Yeah.
Where does Kayla Harrison go from here?
She's too big.
Gets tricky.
She's too big.
145.
I don't even know if she can make 145. Have you seen this woman in person?
Yes. Like, she's, like, solid 180.
Yeah, she walks in, it's like, ho, 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 green giant. It's like, what are you going to do about this?
Yeah.
Like, you got to cut off a limb.
Yeah, kind of like Cyborg was for a long time.
Yeah, but even Cyborg, it's like they eventually had to introduce the featherweight division.
Yeah. Cyborg's body type is a lot different. Like, Kayla Harrison, you know, the judoka style, like, she's just... she's more solid. Like, it's hard to cut.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have that, like, she's her frame, I don't see her cutting another 10 pounds.
They have to do it where the UFC will have to ask Amanda's, like, how high are you willing to go up? Because we'll just do a super fight.
150.
Yeah. Like, we'll just do
but
a super
but you can't
fight.
Sign her to do one super fight. So you got to find, like,
no, you can.
Two or three people.
No, you can. Because you can.
But she wins.
Huh?
If she wins, then what?
Okay.
I mean, so you're just doing a one-off and letting Kayla walk after she beat the best?
You don't have a division.
Fighter?
Look, the UFC still doesn't have a women's featherweight division.
Barely.
No. They're like, no, they don't.
There's no rankings.
There's no rankings. Amanda wins, she's the champ. And they just randomly run women in to be like, hey, you want to fight Amanda Nunes?
Yeah.
What am I ranked? Doesn't matter. Like, you just come in here and fight. So Kayla Harrison were to come in, if she fought Amanda Nunes for like the women's BMF title or something like that, they could either run it back or they could find like another featherweight, but they don't have anybody.
No.
Like the only person in PFL right now that's left to fight Kayla Harrison is Julia Budd. That's it.
Yep.
Kayla has nobody. If she were to beat Amanda Nunes, which isn't a given, there's nowhere to go.
No, it's by no means a given.
No, it's nothing.
With Amanda's hands?
No. There's nothing here. Yeah. So it's like you sign her to one fight because it's like, what is she going to do, go to Bellator? There's nobody there.
Bellator has more people. Like,
they have a few, but she'll just probably run them over too. I mean, maybe she does go to Bellator.
Cyborg? I mean, Cyborg has a lot of people. She has a division.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think
145.
Bellator, if I'm Coker, I'm like, if I'm Scott Coker, I'll make a play for Kayla Harrison.
You open up the checkbook.
I know PFL just has to go, you know what? We're going to lose her. Like, there's nothing we can do about this.
They're cool, but you lost her now when you have Clarissa.
Yeah.
So, like, you're rolling through your next stars, and people understand they can come here, they can build, and while learning and getting fights that aren't, like, the highest level, they can earn $1 million a year.
So, yeah, it's like, damn, man, I'm tired of Kayla. Kayla's just getting rich.
Yeah, sit back, chilling.
She's like, all right, another $1 million? Cool. Like, eventually, PFL's got like, hey, you can't keep fighting for this money. Other women got to win. It's not even
somebody,
fair.
We're just writing your check at the beginning of the year, every year. Like, yo, just don't cash this till December.
Yeah.
So, no, it's interesting, and obviously everyone sees UFC and blah, 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 but I think Bellator makes a real play. Because her versus Cyborg,
it's a huge fight.
Would pay a lot more.
And then, if she were to be Cyborg, then it's even bigger to fight
Amanda,
UFC.
So, but I think Bellator would be like that next step. And it seems like a Bellator move.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
Bring her in, 3-fight deal or something. Year and a half, 2 years. and then you can reassess the situation. So I think that's where she goes from here. We have to also talk UFC, which we're going to recap real quick. Just the craziness that happened last week. We had Paulo Costa versus Vettori, main event, five-rounder, supposed to be a middleweight, then supposed to be at 195, because Paulo Costa in the interview was very real. It's like, yo, I ain't making it. So can we do 195? Cool. 2 days before weigh-ins. You know what? Let's do 205. What? Vettori's like, all right, I'll do it. I've never seen anything like that. I don't think it got us for 20 pounds in a week.
Marvin Vettori management is stupid. Here's why.
Regardless of outcome.
Here's why. If you don't take half of Paulo Costa's purse, I don't care if Marvin wants to fight. That's risky. Man gained 20 pounds. Like, not even gained 20 pounds.
He didn't have to cut.
He just was like, I'm not going to lose any weight. I'm just going to come in here yoked.
Yep.
Now, if that's my opponent, contracted weight is 185, and I'm the manager, I'm like, yo, I'm taking half his purse.
At least. You've been cutting the entire camp and getting down and down and down because you have to get to 185. 30%, if not, you would have just had a healthy camp chilling.
Because, like, the UFC is going to do whatever the fighters say for this particular thing because they want to save a main event because that card sucked.
Yeah, he had all the leverage.
Yeah, so but if Vittori's team says, nah, either make the weight or give us half of your purse. Win or lose. And if we get performance of the night bonus, hand it over. Because that's not fair.
And this Costa's fighting for free at that point.
This man didn't even try to make weight.
Nah.
And then you see him, and then he hits the scale, and he's like, ah. And I'm like, yo, why are you even fighting at 185 in the first place?
Ever.
What's wrong with you?
205 is an easier division.
Yeah, the problem is he's got little arms. He's like the Sean Sherk of like 205 division. So he figures like most fighters, they cut weight, they can be stronger at a lighter weight class. He needs to be fighting at 205. And the UFC should expect, like right now, the UFC said there's no chance of fighting at middleweight again.
Yeah, immediately. Yeah, and he was like, yo, he's only fighting at light heavy.
Yeah, you have no choice.
No, yeah, we're not doing this again.
And then through all of that, Marvin Vettori still won the fight.
Yeah, Paulo Costa came out and looked great early.
Of course he did. He didn't have to cut any damn weight.
Yeah.
Wasn't dehydrated, nothing. No.
And then gassed towards the end.
He's too big.
Vettori put it on him. Which makes me think, have we seen the ceiling of Paulo Costa?
Yes. It's over.
Bochini, and it's only two losses.
That doesn't matter.
I think the man can win 3-round fights.
Maybe.
When you put him in 5-rounders, no chance.
The thing is, all right, one, Marvin Vettori has the same chin that was made out of whatever Tyson Fury's chin is made out of.
Yes.
Because you just can't knock the guy out.
No. Like, Stylebender is trying.
Yeah. Stylebender hit him clean. Costa hit him clean with a head kick. Vettori didn't barely budge. He's like, give me more.
Yep.
It's like, and plus, you're like undersized, right? You're fighting a guy who's just hanging out at 205. You were like, hey, man, I'm cutting weight. Didn't matter. Couldn't finish him. But Paulo Costa at light heavyweight gets very interesting because he's still going to be kind of smaller to some of those guys. Now, he can beat.
He looked bigger than a Dominic Reyes.
Yeah, like, but
he looked really big at 205.
He's a muscular guy, right?
Yeah.
He's a muscle-bound guy. Muscles don't necessarily mean anything. Like, look at Anderson Silva. He wiped out everybody.
Yep.
And looked like our dad, right? Like, coming into the cage. He's like, hey, Pop, what's going on? Pow.
Yeah.
He knocks you out.
Quick, fast.
Paulo Costa is not going to get any better because he hasn't improved anywhere. Mm. He's the same guy, just at 20 pounds higher. And he's fighting in a weight class where you got Jan Blachowicz, who we're about to watch.
Yep.
We got Glover Teixeira. I don't think he can beat Glover. Glover's too skilled.
No, I think Glover takes him into deep waters, and it's wrap.
I don't think he beat Dominic Reyes. I think Dominic's too long for him.
That's a fight I would want to see.
I'd want to see it, but I think Dominic Reyes is too lengthy. Like, like he works behind his length. The fight I would actually like to see is Anthony Smith.
I like Anthony Smith. I like 205 Luke Rockhold.
I don't know what Luke Rockhold is at 205. I don't know what he is anymore.
I don't know what his chin is anywhere.
Yeah, but I don't think Paulo Costa is going to go on any kind of run. I don't think he's ever going to be a world champion. This is it. He's a really strong
guy. Just undefeated.
Yeah. But then, like, Israel Adesanya shattered everything that Paulo Costa was.
Everything.
Because he annihilated early.
Yeah.
He annihilated him. And this also speaks to how good Israel Adesanya is at 185 pounds. Because
he's pretty damn good at 205.
Yeah, well,
he got
he was too small.
A stone throws away.
Yeah, he was too small
to stop the takedown. That was the only thing. But he was piecing him up.
He destroyed Paulo Costa and he beat Marvin Vettori twice.
Yeah.
And there's levels to this. So it's like Israel Adesanya, then it's like Robert Whittaker, and it's everybody else. Well, then it's like Costa, Vettori, and then it's everybody else. But I think the ceiling on Israel Adesanya is so high up that nobody's going to be able to catch him. It's just like after watching these two fight for five rounds at 205 pounds, I'm like, Israel Adesanya's really good.
Really good. Bringing that to Vettori, does he stay at 205?
No. He goes back to 185.
Lost to the champ twice.
Yeah,
what are you fighting for?
What do you? I mean, he's too small for it. Like regular 205 pounders, he's too small. He doesn't have the striking. He doesn't have the wrestling.
You're just fighting.
I mean, as a wrestling
until someone beats Stylebender and man, hoping to get your shot against them.
Everybody like can't fight for a championship. Everybody can't be a champion. That's just the rules of the game.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, you say, "I'm fighting for a check," right? Because that's what you're fighting to make money.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I can't win a championship, I'm not going to retire. I got to make some money.
Yeah.
Vettori can still fight. Like, if Robert Whittaker loses to Israel Adesanya, which seems like it's very likely the next fight is going to happen, I'd like to see Vettori versus Robert Whittaker.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Vettori against Jared Cannonier.
Yep.
You know, like, there's a lot of fights that can still be made there that could headline a fight night. But that championship wins. Like, it's Israel Adesanya. It's like Kamaru Usman right now. Who's beating that guy? If Colby Covington doesn't beat him, which I don't expect, which we'll talk about next week.
Colby's tough as hell. I mean, if Colby doesn't do it.
That's what I'm saying. Who's going to beat him?
No one else gave him a run for his money.
At
even
all.
Like Colby.
Like, Colby gave
got him as close as anyone.
Right. And
so I got to give him, like, stupid amounts of credit.
But other than that, you look at that, the rest of the division, as good as the division is, nobody's close to Kamaru.
No.
Nobody. Rafael Dos Anjos.
Kamaev was slowed down.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get his fight next week. But it's there's levels to it, and at a certain point you go, what? I'm here to get my check. Like, how much am I getting for this fight? Let me redo my contract.
Like Robert Whittaker said, listen, I'm going to just beat everybody else.
Yeah.
And we're going to figure this out down the line.
Yeah, I'll eventually get my crack again.
Yep.
Or at a certain point, Adesanya goes, I guess I have to move up.
Yep.
Been here too long. And if you're Vettori, you're like, I'm just going to wait you out.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason to go to 205 and then get beat up, and now your stock drops.
Yep.
So you keep your stock high.
And you just wait for Adesanya to make his move.
Yeah.
Because if you run through everyone, Adesanya, then, like you said, it puts him in a position where he has to dare to be great.
Yeah. You know, because you know Adesanya's going to watch the fight this weekend and be like, I want another crack at 205, but I probably should fight at 205 for a little while before I get another crack.
True. Or wait. Like, Adesanya beats Glover Teixeira. Different style matchup. Different champion. So if Glover wins, different map. I want that crack now.
I don't think they give
Jan him was a bad style matchup because Jan, at the end of the day, was like, I can take the power for long enough. And then he got to the point at the end of the fight where he's like, I'm just going to take you down. I'm not going to shoot these hands with you no more. I'm going to take you down. I'm going to get the points, not even to finish them. I'm going to just keep you down here for rounds 4 and 5 and hope that I took one of the first three.
Yeah, he did.
And he did.
Yeah.
And he was like, cool, smart play. I don't know if Glover can do that too. I don't know, you know. So you wait it out and say, well, Jan's gonna lose sooner or later.
There's nothing else you can do.
That's it. Everybody's in a waiting game.
If you're Adesanya, it's like I'm chasing Anderson Silva's middleweight record of title defenses.
Yep.
And then at a certain point,
figure it out.
Then I figure it out because I'm gonna have to put some meat on these bones because I can't 205. Yeah. I'm small.
Like Jan did. Like Jan moving up to heavyweight.
We're not talking about John.
I don't know if John ever fights. It's the UFC. Of course John fights. But whenever he does fight, yeah, he transformed his body. So we'll see how that plays out. Let's hit our last break, come back, and we'll talk about UFC 267, give the full preview of that. Next week, there's another pay-per-view card. So the UFC is on fire, back-to-back pay-per-view card. So don't go anywhere. Be right back after this.
Pelé leaned in and said something to Freddie.
Don't let them change you. Keep working on what makes you different and what makes you special. It was great advice, but it caused me some problems.
But what could change Freddie Adu?
Soccer is going to explode, and it's going to be around this kid.
We were the Beatles. Everywhere we went, it was the Freddie Show.
And with that came the expectation, and with that came the pressure.
New episodes of American Prodigy drop Tuesdays from Blue Wire Podcasts.
All right, we're back to close it out, talking about UFC 267 going down this weekend from Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, back in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, back in Abu Dhabi. I am glad that I didn't have to travel over there for any fights. Yeah. So that flight just scares me to no end. If we, for any reason, end up with a Tyson Fury-Anthony Joshua fight next year, I am hoping that it's in the UK because I'm not trying to go over there, man.
Why not?
Nah, the flight's too long. I don't have a Nintendo Switch yet. What am I going to do on like a 18-hour flight?
Sleep? Buy you a Nintendo Switch.
Did you fly like business class or like first class?
I mean, it's all like business class when you fly. I had to fly to New York when I went to Riyadh. I had to fly to New York, fly to London, and fly to Riyadh. So it was two stops. But like the seats were incredible. They gave me wine. Up until you get to Saudi Arabia, as soon as you crash, because you can't drink. It's dry country. But, yeah, I played my Switch. I slept.
There's no drinking?
In Abu Dhabi? In Saudi? No. It's dry.
People are just sober. Constantly.
Yes, there are people who don't drink.
What an odd place.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, it's a dry country, and you can't drink.
How do they eat steak? Because by your metrics, you got to pair steak with the wine.
Yes, because I'm American. That's what we do. But I'm not going to go to Saudi Arabia and tell them how to eat their steak.
Okay. Was the food bomb?
Yes, it was. They had the most incredible meat and juices I've ever had in my life. They treat us like kings there. Like me, Anthony Joshua, Eddie Hearn, we were all on like the same floor. And we get up in the morning. I didn't see them that often, but they had like the same slate of food for us. And we go down there, like me, Claudia, Tiger, like all of us from the zone were down there. We go down and eat, and we'd all sit there and look at each other while we were like, this is some pretty spectacular stuff. And they just kept bringing it. That's why Andy Ruiz got so fat.
I think you did tell me you just saw him eating.
He ate everything. Well, see, okay. The story is that the night before the fight, or the night before the weigh-in, the prince had a dinner, right? Some of us were invited, some of us weren't. I didn't go. And it was like to introduce like Joshua and Ruiz to the prince. And they said, rumor has it, because I wasn't there, allegedly, Andy Ruiz just kept eating. They kept bringing him food, and he just kept eating. Anthony Joshua came in and was like, hi, guys, and left. Ruiz sat down, ate, like they say, like three slices of cheesecake. This is the day before the weigh-in. Earlier in the day, Manny Robles was his trainer at the time. I was supposed to interview him because he was supposed to do a conference call. He no-showed the conference call. Now, I was supposed to tell him before the conference call. Manny calls me and was like, we can't find Andy. I was like, what? Now, in Saudi Arabia, there's really nowhere to go. Like, you're in your hotel, there's a place to walk. It's beautiful out there, but nobody could find him. He slept so hard from eating, they couldn't wake him up. Like
The
food was incredible.
Like the itis on the boondocks.
I will say one thing about Saudi Arabia, because I hear when people say that they're scared to go out there. I went out and I took a walk, right? And I walked around the block. They had like a Nike store, they had all kinds of stuff. They had like a Tiffany's, they had all kinds of stuff. It's beautiful. I took a walk, and I met some people. I met a couple guys that spoke English. And they was like, oh, you're from America? I was like, yeah. And they said, you're here for the fight. Now, they had, like, this big carnival, like, where the fight was at. And he's like, you're going to the F1 race? And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm just here for the fight. He was like, how are you enjoying your experience? I was like, it's pretty good. He's like, are you scared? And I was like, no. And it was like, good, because imagine how we feel when we come to your country.
Oh, yeah.
They was like, you shouldn't be scared. He's like, you're a black man living in America. And we see what happens to you guys over there.
Yeah. Like, nah, everybody here is brown.
Yeah. It was like, imagine like what we feel like. Because, like, we get blamed for everything.
Yeah.
Even the nice ones. Like, we're not all mean, bloodthirsty people. Like, we're happy people.
Yeah.
And they were. They were very kind. Now, it could have been, like, when you go touristy places, they take you to the touristy part of, like, Jamaica.
It's also very true.
Like, when I went to the touristy part of Jamaica, I was like, oh, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
And they was like, let's go off the beaten path. And I went off the beaten path. I was like, oh, this is not beautiful. Oh, get me out of here.
Meet the Yardies.
Yeah. I was like, ew. Like, oh, my God, we're going to get robbed.
Yeah, you got to go there and get the real curry goat, though.
Yeah, but
I don't eat resort curry goat.
No, you don't.
I refuse.
Well, I mean, same thing with Mexico, right? Like, when you go to Mexico, like, the best Mexican food is off the beaten path. But it's like, when you go off the beaten path, it's like, off the beaten path at your own risk.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Saudi Arabia, like, that was a thing. It was like, got there, and when they talked about it, the same thing when I went to London, they were just like, how do you like living in America? And I was like, America's cool. These white guys from the UK were like, we see what happens to you guys over there. We're sorry.
Yeah. Like, I was like, London is crazy, right? They don't have guns. They like knife people still.
Yeah. It's like shank.
Okay. Yeah. I'm only so scared if I go to London then. Like, if you stab me, like, I kind of earned it. Like, you're not going to get close enough to shank me.
I would like to know what you would do to earn a stabbing.
Oh, I mean, my hot takes, my shit talk. Like,
okay, yeah, like, that's I mean, fair. Because, I mean, just your hot takes today is worth it.
And they
a
don't play over there. So, like, Cole's a Red Sox fan. And I give him, like, shit all the time. Like, we just go back and forth.
Yeah,
like, imagine me in a bar just, like, trash talking Anthony Joshua.
You would come
back. He has no chin.
You would come back to America.
Wilder knocks him out in two. And then next thing you know, stab, stab.
Yeah, you would come back to America looking like Sabu. Shank City.
Shank City. It's all bad. All bad. So now I could see a situation where like
yeah, I could too. Now yeah. I mean, now that you mentioned it, you wouldn't make it.
The fan base would not like me. I hate Sweet Caroline. Yeah, stuff I mean, like that.
You
like
make it.
No. I'm just not. I'm not built for that. But I, you know, I try it. You could dodge a knife. So like, I figure it out.
I'd be interested in seeing you do that too. I pay good money.
We'll
to
be
watch
in the
you
UK
die.
Sooner or later. I think Fury is gonna fight.
I would like to see you in a West Side Story knife fight with like the music playing.
I'm from the Bronx. It got to be in me. Like I've never had to do it.
Let's
but, like,
find out.
I feel like it's just part of the culture.
I'll make a bet on that.
Get the stance, and then two
Are
steps
you fencing?
Back. Oh, I mean, I don't know. That's how they fight with the knives.
No, they don't. Yeah, you were just you were fencing.
You flip it open.
Is that how it sounds?
Yes, and then you just
this man keep is a fencing with a switchblade.
You got to keep you got to keep the body back. I feel like there's an art to
All right,
the fencing.
Kel, let's talk about MMA. Knife fighting is clearly not your strong suit.
Listen, anyone else has knife fighting tips. I'm clearly open to this, but I feel like I got.
Please
the
don't share those
down.
On Twitter. I hope nobody goes on Twitter. Is like, listen,
like, I'm gonna clip this. I'm gonna put this on social. Yes. The video clip. I am accepting all. Knife fighting.
Yeah,
tips.
We have to have the video of you fencing with a switchblade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't feed into stereotypes, but as a Puerto Rican, I feel like I have some natural skills.
You need to watch the Warriors some more.
Yeah. See, all of this, it's in my blood. I think I got it. Oh. The fights this week at UFC, where we're supposed to be talking about, always get sidetracked. Main card kicks off Volkan Ozdemir versus Magomed. This is that make or break fight for Ozdemir. Another person I like heavy, Paulo Costa, could fight.
For a champion, title contender.
Yeah.
Ozdemir got washed by Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, so you look at Ozdemir, and he just came in, started off red hot, hit the ground running, and then, you know, a couple losses, and now it's, you know, five. He's, what, he fought, he only had one loss when he fought Cormier. And then now, Reyes beat him. He lost last year. Coming back, trying to win this, and they're giving him no easy. There's no softballs here.
Well, no, he fought Jiří, who I think is probably going to be the next title contender.
I mean, the way Jiří rushed him, yeah.
I mean, he watches everybody. He's a glory kickboxing guy. Just nasty. But Ozdemir is not winning this fight by any stretch of the imagination. In my mind, I think Magomed is just, he's on the rise. Light heavyweight division needs some new blood. Ozdemir's had his opportunity. I think it'll be a good fight.
He's won one fight in the past 3 years.
Yeah, and like you said, it gave him no softball.
No, none.
Put him in there with Jiří because everybody was like, how good is Jiří? And people who never watched him outside of the UFC were like, yeah, let's find out. And they were like, oh, shit.
No, like, he's the real deal.
Yeah.
I was one of those people. I was like, yo, I just hear about this.
Monster.
And then, because, you know, you hear kickboxer, and I'm just like, okay, he's just going to be kind of like Wonder Boy.
Nah.
Kind of like, what's his face, a heavyweight, Gain, like Cyril and all these people. I'm like, okay, I think he's just going to be a chess match guy.
No.
When I heard this.
He's a violent wood chipper.
Oh. I was like, oh, no, this guy's different.
Like, it's like a lawnmower just coming at you.
It's all bad.
And you can't get out of the way?
Yeah. It's not even, like, elegant, like style no. bender. Not, no, it's just like, nah.
It's violence.
Yeah, pure violence. So we'll see if Ozdemir can bounce back in that one. I have him losing. So he's one away from Bellator. Like, you got to make your future endeavors decision. So he needs a win somewhere. This ain't going to be it. And then welterweight fight, Yi-Ji Liang versus Kamaev.
I mean, I'm picking Kamaev.
I'm picking Kamaev. Over, under, around. Because that's where we go with Kamaev now.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm glad they kind of pulled back a little bit instead of having to fight Leon Edwards. They kind of came back and was like, you know what, let him kind of work his way up the ladder.
Missed a year due to COVID.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, I think this about goes a round and a half. He doesn't waste a lot of time. The question is, does he submit him or does he just flatline him?
It's hard. I mean, their body type's so different. I think he probably wins by ground and pound.
Yeah, probably. His grappling's just way too good.
Yeah. Submitting? That'd be impressive.
Yeah.
If he submits Ji Liang. But I give Ground and Pound, talking about Ground and Pound, Islam Makhachev versus Dan Hooker.
Boy, Dan Hooker. Dan is crazy.
Yo, he's wild. 2 weeks ago, he's just in Australia, like or New Zealand. I don't know if I can come over. Now, back-to-back tough fights. Wins the last one. Showed off good wrestling in that fight.
This is different.
Which, you ain't going to wrestle here. Like, Dan, you better use these hands.
Yeah.
You better figure something out because you got 3 rounds of just trying to stay off your back.
Makhachev is going to drown him.
I think so.
The wrestling is just way too good. Wrestling
is so good.
Dan is good. Dan is a great striker. But when you have wrestlers who are very good at defending against strikers and know how to keep you on the canvas, it's going to be a long night. World.
Yeah. You'll pin him against the cage, drag him down.
And Makhachev is basically making a statement. It's like, I should be the next title contender. I'm looking at these, you know, I'm looking at Charles Oliveira. I'm looking at Michael Chandler. I'm looking at Justin Gaethje. I'm like, I can beat all of them.
Yeah.
So I need to show you.
Because he's seen Habib beat all of them.
Yes.
He's like, yo, my style beats all of them.
He's gonna drown Dan Hooker. I don't know how long it's going to take. I think he's going to try to finish him because he's going to see what Michael Chandler did to Dan Hooker. And he's like, I need to improve upon that. But I think it'll be a very torturous one-sided fight.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he'll stop him.
I think he will.
Have him by decision.
I don't know.
Dan is tough.
Dan is tough. But grappling on the ground when you're drowning somebody, the exhaustion level.
On 2 weeks to prepare.
That's what I'm saying.
This isn't the guy to take two weeks to prepare.
He's a maniac. He's trying to get a check. I feel him. But no, Islam Makhachev is the next title contender, and he's going to show why.
I agree. And then co-main, Petr Yan versus Corey Sandhagen. Interim title. Give me Yan.
I love Sandhagen.
I think Yan was wrecking Aldo before the untimely knee. Or Aldo, excuse me.
It's Corey Sandhagen lost to TJ Dillashaw.
Yep.
Dillashaw's obviously hurt. Couldn't take this fight. As good as Sandhagen is, Petr Yan's just kind of a different beast.
Yeah.
Against Aljo, Aljamain Sterling could do nothing with Yan. Like, nothing. It was like fighting a brick wall.
Couldn't get him to the ground. I think he got one sub attempt in.
And it was nothing. He shrugged it off.
He flexed out of it. He was like, ah.
What are you doing, little man? Get off me.
Oh,
man. And Sandhagen, I don't like doing MMA math, but Aljamain ran over Corey Sandhagen.
Yeah.
I can't see a path where Sandhagen hurts Yan, unless Yan doesn't see a head kick coming, kind of like what happened to Marlon Moraes. But as
possible.
We've seen, Marlon Moraes is washed. I just don't see it. Petr Yan's going to win this, and we're going to get the interim champion versus Aljo, the real champion. They're going to have like this whole paper champion theme
when
going.
When Aljo is healthy again. Like
That's why this is an interim title fight, because Aljo might not get healthy.
I was about to say, that's scary. Like,
they might elevate him.
I don't know if he's healthy again.
Dude, neck injuries for wrestlers are tough. Like, they're really tough to get through. And especially when you have it, the surgery, and you come back and you're like, I'm still not right.
Yep.
This might be a full title before the end of the year. Aljo might.
This is one of those where they just tell Aljo, yo, listen, just step aside, get healthy. You'll be the number one contender when you come back.
Yeah. I mean, but you weren't winning that fight either. I love Aljo. I like Aljo as an individual, him as a person. And I'm just like, I mean, he's admitted that he doesn't want to win the title like this. But now he can't say, I'm not the champion.
Yeah, like,
what am I going to do? Can every interview be like, I'm not the champion. Why do you have the belt? I don't know. No, you just got to say that you're the champ. But at some point, if you're hurt and you can't fight, you got to say it's totally fair that Yan is the full champion and I'll come and be the number one contender.
That's just whenever I come back. Yeah. Or whoever has the title at that point.
It'll be Yan. It'll be Petr Yan.
I agree. Main event, Jan Blachowicz versus Glover Teixeira. I pick against Jan all the time. I'm doing it again. I just want to see the old man win it. Let's go Glover. Old man Glover. I don't know how he's still this good after all these years.
This is
give me Glover by knockout.
It's a fascinating fight for two reasons. One, Glover Teixeira is, I believe, a +210. And Jan has been the underdog in, like, all of his fights. Now he's the favorite.
Yeah.
I believe the last time I checked, he was, like, a -250.
And he's 38. It's not like he's young.
Right.
They're only a three-year age.
Glover's 41. He'll be 42 by the time, this time next week. I think he turns 42 very soon. Glover was undefeated, had a 20-fight win streak, because he lost his first fight. Then he fought John Jones. He lost the fight. Everybody loses John Jones.
Everybody.
Who cares? Then he was like 50-50 for a hot second. Now he's won five in a row. He's the last person. He beat Thiago Santos, who was the last person to beat Jan. Right?
Yep.
And Glover has looked pretty damn good in his last five fights. They both have five-fight winning streaks over the past 2 years.
Yep.
The fact that Glover's a nearly 2.5-to-1 underdog is baffling to me. I think, yes, Jan probably has – I don't think he has more ways to win, to be honest with you. Glover is heavy-handed.
Yep.
Glover's got great jiu-jitsu. The only thing that worries about Glover is he's a little chinny. And what I mean by chinny –
he gets like, rocked.
Yeah, he gets rocked.
But he'll stay in there.
But he's very dangerous when he gets rocked.
Yeah.
Unless you get hit by Rumble Johnson, who kills everybody. Right? Again, Rumble killed Glover. Rumble killed Gustafson.
Yeah.
Rumble killed everybody. There's an exception to that. I don't think Jan hits as hard as Rumble. I don't think anybody hits as hard as Rumble Johnson.
No.
That being said, if Jan makes this a striking affair where he creates distance and keeps Glover from getting in close, because Glover's very dangerous when he's either countering or he's winning in close. If y'all can keep this at a distance, he wins this fight. He wins a five-round decision. Or he catches Glover and finishes him. But if for any reason Glover applies pressure and Jan can't figure out how to keep him off him, his back off the fence, Glover might stop him.
I agree. I mean, only Thiago, I think, has stopped Jan.
Yeah. Thiago and Jan got stopped way early in his career. Like, way earlier than that. But other than that,
and it was still a third round knockout. Like it was a weird fight against Thiago.
It's not like Jan is indestructible. Here's the other thing that nobody's really paid attention to. Outside of Corey Anderson, all of Jan's wins have been opponents that were compromised. What I mean by that is Israel was too small. Okay. Rockhold was coming off a loss.
Yeah.
Smith, everybody that Jan beat in his winning streak outside of Corey Anderson was coming off a loss or compromised where they weren't in the right weight class.
Yep.
Corey Anderson lost, went to Bellator, and now he's fighting for a title. All that to say is, like, I'm not saying Jan's not that good, but remember, I said the same thing about Tony Ferguson.
He's not unbeatable.
Yeah, when Tony Ferguson was on that run, and people were like, Tony Ferguson's going to beat Justin Gaethje, I was like, yo, look at Tony Ferguson's record. Really close. He beats guys that come off of losses.
Yeah.
That's not – there's no momentum there. Glover's won five in a row. He has momentum. He has confidence. That goes a long way in a fight like this. Both these guys have the same winning streak for the same amount of time.
If you were betting, you're betting on Glover.
I'm betting on Glover Teixeira. 2.5-to-1, I'm taking that.
Yeah.
Like a plus 210, somewhere around there.
It might go.
It started low. I believe Glover started at like a plus like 180, and it's gone up.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it keeps going up, you get like plus 250. They'll
pull it back because somebody's smart enough to realize, like, Glover's not this bad, right?
Yeah.
And we're putting a lot of weight on Jan beating us.
I wish I had it in front of me. Glover by KO might be my move.
By KO, I saw like crazy in a prop bet was like plus 800. The problem with that bet is Glover by knockout and submission are almost the same thing. He can win either way.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really hard to pick. Jan's not submitting anybody.
No.
Jan's either winning by decision or he's stopping him. So it's easy to pass the victory. When you do a prop bet with Glover, it's like he can win kind of any way he wants to if he finds himself in that position. As a betting man, I'm picking Glover. I'm just like you. I've picked against Jan forever. Ever. For his entire life, I've picked against Jan. I'm going to pick against him again. Forget it. I want to see Glover Teixeira win the title because what you said earlier with Adesanya going, I might be able to give this another shot. And it kind of opens up the division again.
It does.
Not that Jan has been champion for a very long time. He kind of just got here.
Yep.
This is only his second title defense. He's beatable. And I think the reason why I'm picking against him is because he's the favorite now. I think he wins when he's the underdog. I think now he's the favorite. I think he's going to lose. So I'm picking Glover Teixeira. I think he's going to stop him at some point in the fight.
I agree. I'd taken the same Glover by knockout. I don't know about a submission. But, yeah, just getting hit with those heavy hands, and then you just walk into something, and then it's lights out.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like Izzy watching from a distance.
And to be clear, I think Jan's a better striker. I think Jan's a very underrated grappler.
Yeah.
I think my problem is that I think there's a part of Jan that might be underestimating Glover, just maybe a small part. Because remember, I don't really think people remember when Glover fought Ryan Bader. Ryan rushed him. It looked like he hurt Glover.
Yeah.
And Glover lit him up. If you rush in against Glover, he's going to catch you.
Yep.
Can Jan be that patient for five rounds? I don't know.
He wasn't against Stylebender.
Right. He had to be.
He had to be. But there was a lot of respect there.
Yeah. I don't know if he has the same respect for Glover. And I think, just like Thiago Santos, he hurt Glover because you picked Thiago in that fight.
I did.
And I was like, he hurt him, and I was like, I think he's all right.
Yep.
And he ended up winning that fight. Can it happen again? Maybe.
Man, Glover gets buzzed and, like, steps back and stumbles and hits the side of the cage, then covers up for a little bit, and then someone comes in and, boom, he hits him with the right hand. And then next thing you know, the fight continues because they're like, oh, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, you gotta fix it.
Yeah.
When Jan fought Adesanya, Adesanya had to respect Jan's power.
Yeah.
Jan hit him and it was like, oh, can't do what I did to Paulo Costa because he might hurt me. I don't know if Glover has that same kind of respect. He's got to close the distance. If this is a kickboxing match, Jan's winning. If Glover can make this dirty and ugly, a lot of infighting.
Yeah, I need like old school UFC Glover. Like,
yeah, we need like Glover.
It's 2009.
Yeah, we need Glover to make this ugly, but I think he can win this fight. I'm picking him. I don't think he should win this fight, but I'm going to pick him.
42-year-old Glover Teixeira.
OG. Hey, man, OGs win sometimes.
Listen, I like it. So we're on equal footing there. I think we picked all the same people for this card. We'll see how we end up when we come back next week because we have to recap this and preview the MSG card, which is huge for UFC. Tons of fights for them in just two cards is mind-boggling. So it's a great week in MMA.
It explains why we've had such trash fight nights for the past few weeks.
It's good. It gave us like a little breather. We got to do our pro wrestling show, but now they're like, oh, don't you forget what the hell we do. So, no, it's going to be exciting in MMA. Probably run it right back and then do MMA in our next show on Sunday so we can cover both of these things. We appreciate everyone for listening, as always, watching our clips. We'll bring the full shows to you guys shortly as well. Shout out to everyone here at Blue Wire Studios in the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas. Everyone in production, Cole for chiming in. You are the man, as always. Make sure you guys follow us on social media, at Corner Podcast _ on Twitter, at Corner Club for a Life on Instagram. Follow me at Kel Dansby, him at Andreas Hale on all platforms. Stay safe. Have fun. We're gearing up. Now we're getting into the home stretch of the year in combat sports. There's big fights every weekend between now and Christmas. It's going to make it really fun. If you are in Vegas, stop by the Wynn. Watch us record Wednesdays and Sundays. It's for you guys. Come, have fun. It's a blast in here. The studio is amazing. We appreciate everyone. Until next time, we're out.
Peace.